your voice changed and you were like, that's it. I'm done. I'm like, this is what we're doing.
Yay, this is it. I found it. You know?
What's up, everybody? This is Karima, and welcome to another episode of the Blurred Girl Podcast. Now, where are all my My Hero Academia fans at? Because if you love that show and if you love anime, have I got a guest for you. Now, first of all, welcome back. Thank you so much for listening. Please take a second to subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. This week, I'm talking to voiceover artist Gabe Kunda. And if you're wondering what the My Hero Academia connection is, Gabe provides the voice for the English dub of the character Ken Takagi, aka Rocklock. He's actually the show's first black character, and one that is actually being portrayed properly, because you know, anime can be problematic with black people. But he's been in a bunch more things than that. He was Fisher Tiger in One Piece. He was in Black Clover. He's been in Dragon Ball Super and so much more. But the very first time I heard him on My Hero, I just jumped on Twitter and found him and asked him immediately to come on the show. And I was so excited when he accepted. So that is coming up. I also must talk about Doctor Who and the first black doctor, aka Dr. Ruth. Plus Picard has dropped and we're about to hit, plus Picard is out now and we're about to hit Black People Month. So there's a lot going on. And I will get to all of that right after we pay some bills. Do you run a hosted website on WordPress, or is your site really slow? Have you gotten hacked in the past and you just didn't know what to do? Well, if so, you need SiteGround. Now, I am a SiteGround affiliate. I'm also a customer. In fact, I switched theblurredgirl.com over to them and never looked back. In fact, I've put other people onto them for two reasons: reliability and customer service. You can try it yourself at siteground.com/go/theblurredgirl. That's siteground.com/go/theblurredgirl. Now, unlike some other hosting sites that have a really great affiliate program and seem to be really popular, many of them don't have customer service. SiteGround has great customer service. They don't talk to you like an idiot. If you can't find something, they'll help you work through it. They have a really easy control panel, and SiteGround is really the truth. You can start hosting your site today for as low as $3.95 a month. You can run a store, a blog, anything really. And they can even move your whole existing site over for you from another hosting service, and you don't have to worry about a bunch of code and stuff. So if you've been blogging or running a website for a while now, it's time to take your site and its security seriously and move up to SiteGround. Sign up today at SiteGround.com. That's SiteGround.com/TheBlurredGirl. Now, last Sunday was devastating for a lot of us here in the U.S. because we lost basketball legend Kobe Bryant in a helicopter crash. And I was even more devastated when I found out that his daughter Gigi was with him, and she also perished in the crash. There were all in all 9 souls lost that day, and our hearts and prayers are with the families of the victims. But that actually was a really tough night, and it really punched me in the gut. And I remember like just getting off social media, putting my phone down. I was doing some writing, but I got off the computer, I got off of everything, and I just kind of sat and chilled with my man for a minute because we were both just stunned. And I also just didn't want to keep watching the news because it was sort of like the same thing over and over again. So I switched over to the BBC on Sling and watched Doctor Who to take my mind off things. And now I'm about to get spoilery. So if you haven't watched the last episode, and that is The Fugitive of the Jadoon, you would probably want to pause this or fast forward or something. So watching that episode not only cheered me up, it made my night. I think it might have made my week, actually. Not only did Captain Jack Harkness return, but he actually stayed on the ship the whole time and never got to meet Jodie Whittaker's doctor. We also got to meet the first black Doctor Who in the entire history of the show. They've never had a black woman play the doctor. There have been a few companions, but no doctors. Now, what's crazy is Ruth, we're calling her Dr. Ruth now. This is, if you didn't know, now you know. It's Dr. Ruth. apparently she exists in the timeline before Jodie Whittaker's doctor, which means Jodie's character came from her or regenerated after her. Now, yes, it's very confusing, and it's where is she in the timeline? Which doctor is she? Is she like 10 and a half or something? You know, what happened? And I have a theory. I have two, actually. Either Ruth Clayton, who's played by actress Jo Martin, is another version of the War Doctor, think about it, or she is this timeless child that they have been talking about and hinting about since the first season. So I really want to hear what you think. So, you know, because there's so many theories out there. I really want to hear what you have to, what you think about this if you're a Whovian, if you're a Doctor Who fan. So please screenshot this episode, post it in your IG stories, and leave me a comment talking about Doctor Who, letting me know your thoughts on Dr. Ruth. Now, as of when you're hearing this, we'll be two episodes deep into Picard. And aside from the brother that died first in the first episode, I'm intrigued. And it's beautifully shot. I love how Jean-Luc is not perfect, and neither is the Federation. And I did go into more of an in-depth discussion of what I thought about Picard on last week's Who Won the Week over at Sci-Fi. I think that was episode 216, but I'll put it in the show notes. So definitely listen to that over there. And for fans of this podcast, I am actually going to be talking very soon to Hannah Lee Culpepper. She is the director of the pilot episode of Picard, and she's also the first woman to direct a pilot episode of any Star Trek season or series since the show began. I'm going to get a chance to talk to her, and so she'll be in an upcoming episode. So please keep listening. And you know how you won't miss that episode? If you subscribe. See? Like how I did that? Now, remember how last week I spoke to William Jackson Harper of The Good Place, and it was kind of like a short episode? Well, this is the opposite of that. So I'm not going to do a super long intro because I think this is one of the most fun interviews I've done. And I didn't want to cut anything short because Gabe covered a lot. I talked to Gabe Kunda, the voiceover actor, music arranger, and just all around really nice guy, about what it's like being a professional voiceover actor. As well as we also talked about coming from an immigrant family and being first gen and how he had to explain what being a voiceover artist was to his Congolese parents. We had a great conversation about basically the act and practice of doing voiceover, as well as if you stick around to the end, he gave some really, really sage advice if you're trying to break into the business, if you're trying to do voiceover for anime. He really shared some incredible, incredible stuff with us. So please stick around to the end. Plus, he's a huge Phil Lamar fan. So definitely stick around to the end and listen to this entire episode. Without further ado, my interview with professional voiceover artist, Gabe Kunda. It's funny, the first time I heard your voice was Rock Lock, of course, because My Hero Academia. But yeah. Then when I did a little research, I realized that you've been doing this for a minute and that your voice was on the trailer for Harriet and a whole bunch of other things. Yeah. So I was like, okay, let's back up. And there's a story here.
Yes.
So let's go back to the beginning. You are a full-time professional voiceover actor, but I want to know, where did you grow up? When did you know you wanted to do this?
Yeah, so...
Where are you from and where are your people from?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm from Dallas, Texas. That's kind of where I'm from. But what I'm really from, if we're talking about my family and the origin, both my parents are from the Congo in Africa.
Wow.
I'm kind of the first generation here.
First gen, woo!
Yeah. So I'm you know, kind of... It's funny, you know, as I'm growing up here, I'm over here teaching my parents English and everything. And so...
So you grew up bilingual.
Yeah, I grew up bilingual. So I speak the native tongue out there is Lingala. I speak that. And then French as well is a combo deal. And so all those things have kind of been a conglomeration to me. And yeah, I've been born and raised Dallas, Texas for the majority of my life. I moved around from like cities, but it's in Dallas, Texas, the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, which is massive.
Mm-hmm.
I think I went to high school at Mansfield Summit High School, and that's where kind of the spark for voiceover began. I've always kind of been doing kind of, I guess, voices and stuff like that, but it wasn't anything where I knew what I was doing. It wasn't up until my sophomore year in high school when, like, I got into this class, this biology class, and my teacher was doing this whole kind of like popcorn reading where like you read one thing and then you pick your friend to read another and then you pick your friend. So like we were taking turns reading in the class with the classmates. And I'm also a kind of a class clown in a sense, or like I always try to seek attention. Okay. So I was like, man, I want to read this differently. Everybody's been reading all super boring and stuff, and it's just been super slow. And it's like, you know, the organism is da, da, da. And I'm like, gosh, I got so bored. I was like, okay, I'm gonna read this like
so then you decided to read it like Dr. Stone.
Basically, I was in my mind, I was like, I'm gonna do this like James Earl Jones, and I'm just gonna,
oh my god,
I'm just gonna put on my big voice, you know, and just kind of start reading. And funny enough, like, you know, at first, you know, when you got a classmate doing that, you're looking back like, who is this clown? But then, like, mm-hmm. the students actually started to pay attention to, like, the actual reading. And so my teacher would be like, you know what? We should have you read all the time. Yeah. And so they had me reading for like the last like 3 months of the school year. I was doing all the like the narration, like every time my teacher would like, okay, let's read a new passage in the biology book or whatever, I would read it. And so at the end of the year,
that's hilarious. So you really were getting kids excited about
science, because it was like this classmate doing a narrator voice sounding like, you know, one of the voices or whatever. So it's really cool. So then at the end of like the year, school year, my teacher was like, you know, you really think about doing the announcements for the next school year, or whatever. And I was like, oh, announcements, what is that? Like, so you're being an announcer, like, you're listening, you know, that kind of thing. And she was like,
you were thinking of sports or radio or something,
exactly. And so I was like, okay, well, I'll audition. And they, luckily enough, they held auditions to do the announcements for school. So I'd get up and do, good morning, kids, and welcome to, you know, Summit High School, and yada, 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 just going off that way. And so, but before the audition, I was like, okay, I need to find out more about this world. I need to know, like, what are announcers? What does that entail? And so I went on YouTube, and I looked up this video called, I was going through announcers and everything, and this video called Million Dollar Voices came up. And I was like, mm-hmm. what in the world is this? And so I clicked on it. I clicked on it, and it was, first of all, one of the greatest movie trailer actors of all time, Don LaFontaine. If you know anything about him, he is.
Oh, yes.
He is
in
the
a
standard.
World.
In a world, exactly. He's the standard for all things, you know, movie trailers. And now he's no longer with us, but that video literally changed my life. Like, literally completely flipped my life upside down, because I saw all these men and women doing movie trailers and doing promos and doing commercial work all in this video. And I'm like, oh my, this is what I want to do the rest of my life. Mind you, I'm a sophomore in high school. And I'm like, this is what I want to do. This, and only this.
How old were you then? How old were you?
Sophomore, was I 16? I think.
Okay.
Around there.
So 16 years old, you were like, I found it. This is it. Like, your voice changed, and you were like, that's it.
Yeah, I'm like,
this is
I'm
what
like,
we're doing.
Yay, this is it. I found it. You know? I'm like, this is what I want to do. So I searched up everything I could. And so I landed on this other video. His name is James Arnold Taylor. He does, he's the voice of Obi-Wan in the Jedi animated series. And then like a bunch of other characters. He's also one of the voices on Fox. You're listening to Family Guy on Fox. That guy.
Yeah.
And so he pretty much shows the in and outs of his days and the sessions and stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, this is great. I want to do this. And so what I did, my parents are pastors, and they have a church, and they've got like microphones in there, and they have preamps and all that stuff. And I basically, one day after church, I grabbed the guitar preamp from church and the microphone, and I slid it in the back of my dad's car. We drove home, mind you, my dad didn't know a thing. Drove home, grabbed the amp from the back of this car.
You are slick. You are slick. Because you know you were supposed to be downstairs eating food and you upstairs taking equipment.
And I'm up there, yeah, I'm up there stealing church equipment. And so I take the preamp, I go upstairs, I hook it up, and I'm like literally on the I shut the lights off and I'm just like tonight, it's the new movie. And I'm just, and obviously I didn't sound like that when I was younger, but like I was just kind of copying everything I was hearing and just transcribing, watching video. And I would do that for hours on end, literally hours on end. And just kind of, you know, show my brothers. I would record myself. I was like, hey, do I sound like the guy who does the voices? And my brother would be like, I mean, kinda. And so I would bother them every day during the summer, just trying to, you know, get them to
How many siblings do you have?
I have three youngers. Three boys. All boys.
Oh, so you're the oldest.
I'm the oldest.
Lord.
Yeah, so I what can you do?
No, see, I'm the oldest and I'm the only girl. So that was what that moan came from.
Oh, so you understand. How
they get away with everything? Yes. I understand that pain.
Everything. And so when as my parents being African as well, they required for me to be on my books and reading things and bettering mm-hmm. myself in all types of ways. And here I am in the room kind of in the dark reading into a amp and recording.
I cannot wait till we get to the part of the story where you explain to me how you explain to your parents what you want to do with your life. Because my mother's, everybody I talk to who's first gen, my mother's not from this country either. She still doesn't know what I do. But it's like she doesn't still understand. Hearing her trying to explain it is comedy. But it's just when you are from a family that's first gen, trying to explain to them, especially they're like doctor, lawyer, nurse, whatever. And you're like, no, I get paid to talk about comic books. What?
Yeah.
Like
exactly. Exactly. I'm
going to use my voice to sound like a Japanese character. I'm sorry, what? Exactly.
And here's funny thing. I didn't explain that to them until I got to my senior year in college. Like I fully explained what I did. Like,
so what did you go to college for? Because you didn't go to college for voiceover work, right?
No, I went for music education.
Got
and
it.
So I and the reason why I went that way, because music is also my first love and that's what I've always known. And so my goal was to teach choral music at the high school level and to just I also am a vocal arranger and vocal producer. And so I do a lot of music. And so I kind of built up my life on music. And then this voiceover kind of thing came along. And at my senior year in high school, I entered this competition for voiceover and audio radio production because I got into radio as well. And all this as a goal to get into voiceover. So I'm doing all this stuff. I'm winning this competition. I become the first African American in my district, my school district, to win the national level of Skills USA for audio radio production. And
oh my gosh! Congrats.
And the thank you. The judges who were like, I mean, they're these huge brands like Walmart, Target. Like they mm-hmm. judge them, and they were like, that voice though. on the comments. And so it was really cool. It was reassuring. It's like, okay, maybe this is a good path. I got a scholarship to go to school for audio radio production. I mean, like, complete, like, they were going to pay for everything. It was a 2-year deal. But again, like, music was my first love. And I was like, I don't really need a degree to do voiceover, but I do need a degree to teach music. And I was thinking about doing voiceover and music at the same time, like teaching choral music at the same time.
See, that's very smart.
Yeah,
that's very smart because you looked at the business because it's like, this existed before there was a degree for it.
Exactly. So yeah. I was like, okay, we'll see. So I auditioned for music. I got a scholarship on that. It was a pretty big scholarship. And I, you know, did music education throughout the years. But as I was doing that, I was doing some little VO stuff on the side. Like I was doing some stuff for church, like announcements for churches, little mom and pop shops were asking for stuff and literally trying to voice anything I could, trying to get better. And then maybe of 2016, at that point I was kind of a sophomore, junior-ish year. I was like, you know what? I need to do something that's going to get my name out there. Like what is something I can do that's can just like, okay, I get some followers going or whatever. So I started doing impression videos. So every day I would kind of learn a voice.
I saw a few of those up on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. I would just do. I mean, and now I look back on it, I was like, wow, Gabe, what were you doing? But it got me. But truly, a lot of them went kind of viral, and some of the writers at Family Guy followed me, and they were like, yeah, we just saw your video. This is great. Tyrese Gibson reposted one of my other my impression videos and stuff, and it just. Gladys Knight reposted it too, and I was like, okay, cool. Like, I'm getting some traction. And
wait, hang on a second. Hang on. That is a huge swath of an audience right there. You just went from the Family Guy team to Tyrese to Gladys Knight and the Pips. I'm sorry. What?
It was insane. And what was crazy about it is she tagged Disney and was like, yo, Disney, you need to sign this dude any way you can. And I'm like, this is Gladys Knight. Oh my God.
You have a blurred auntie out there. That's so cute.
Truly. and so, like, I was doing all that, and you know, it gets to a point where, I mean, impression videos are fun and they're great, but one thing I always tell people as well is, like, there's already somebody who gets paid lots of money to do that voice, mm-hmm. Very comfortably, and there's already somebody doing that job. So how else are you going to do it? Like, what are you going to create that's original? What are you going to bring to the table? And so in order for me to get signed to an agency or anything like that, I needed to create a voiceover demo. Now, mind you, voiceover demos, if you want it to sound great, are not the most cheapest, and they're not the most expensive things. But I was able to, based on kind of the little gigs I was doing on the side, I was able to get some money together and actually pay for one. So I got my demo done in LA, senior year of college, and the demo came back, and there was one agency that I was looking at. I've been looking at them since I was a sophomore in high school. They were signed by some, like, people, like, they, you know, represent Invader Zim, Porky the Pig, Jim Cummings. I mean, just everybody. And I was like, I need to get signed on to them. I feel like, you know, if I get signed on to them, it's you know, it's gonna kind of jump my career. And I sent it in, and then it was a few days. And normally in VO, they tell you, please do not call the agency and ask if they've seen your demo. You know,
just
like, let them,
because they'll get hundreds of calls.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so, but for me, I was like, no, I need to know. And so, so I called, like, pretty much, not every day, but I called for 2 days. I was calling. I was like, hey, did they look at anything yet? Yeah. I was kind of, and the thing is, how it works at my agency is that they, in order for, like, one of the agents can't say, yeah, we like them, I'm going to sign you. Like, they all have to agree. All the agents in the agency have to agree. So, I mean, you have a tough task. So if one person says no, you're not getting signed. So I was kind of like rocking back and forth, like, oh my God, they don't like me. And then I got a call, like, on a Friday afternoon. I was out with my girlfriend, who's now my wife. We were at IHOP, and I have a picture, I gotta send it to you, but, like, I'm sitting there eating, and I'm talking to my girlfriend. I'm like, yo, I don't think they like me, you know. I think, and she was like, no, be positive. Like, it's been a few days, whatever. Just let it play out. And so, in the middle of me talking, like, I get a from New York, and I'm like, this is a New York number. Oh my gosh, their offices are based in New York and LA. Oh, and so I pick up the phone, and they're like, hey, Gabe, this is Atlas Talent. And I'm like, hey, how are you? You know, shaking. And they're like, so we heard your demo, and we love it, and we want to sign you. And I'm like, whoa, what the heck? And so I'm literally crying. So my girlfriend is taking a pic, literally takes a picture of me as I'm, like, having this conversation, and you can see, like, me, like, shook in that combo. But I signed on with Atlas Talent, and, like, literally that's when this entire VO career just kind of, like, boom, like 2017. And so now we get to the point where I'm telling my parents, right? I'm about to graduate, and my parents are like, great, so you're going to go to school. You finished school. Now you are going to go teach, right? And now I'm talking to my parents. I'm like, so, Mom, here's the thing. I want to think about going into voiceover. And they're like, what is voiceover? I'm like, so basically I'm the voice of brands and commercials, and so I promote them with my voice, and I made, you know, the guy who reads behind the TV screen that you don't see, and they're like, oh okay, I know the person, you do the radio. I'm like, no, he doesn't do the radio, but yes, kind of in that sense. And they're like, okay, so you're going to go be a radio person. No, I'm going to be the voice actor, so I'm going to be doing things to promote the product. Okay, what does that mean? I went to school for 4 years, but you don't know. And I said, no, I know, but I've been doing things. Yes, I was trying to explain it to them. And so finally they're like, okay, we need to see something because we cannot just let you go. I'm like, okay, cool. So I booked this one thing literally a month before I graduated that, for Spike TV. It was Bellator NYC. It's like this wrestling thing on Spike TV. And that was like my first big client. And I think my check was like $7,000. And I was like, oh my God, I've never been paid this much for anything. And so I ran to my parents and I'm like, look. And they're like, okay, what is this for? Did you sell drugs? No, not drugs.
Oh, no.
This is what I told you I was
thank God it wasn't a pharmaceutical commercial, because then you would have had to say,
sort of. Saving lives, though. But no, I showed it to them. And then I also showed the promo spot that I did. And they were like, oh, that's you. And from then they're like, well, I mean, go for it. I mean, if it's bringing you this kind of money, if you're not, you know, starting to make a living for yourself, just try it and see what happens. And if it fails, you always have your degree to fall back on, and you go back to teaching.
But you know what's funny? But I love you doing the impression of your father. That was awesome. You're like, I don't understand. Yes, Dad, but no.
Like the moment they see the checks coming in or whatever, and they're like, oh, wait, you're living. You know, they're like, okay,
illegal.
Go for it. Yeah, right. It's not illegal. Like, okay, go for it. We're right behind you. So that became the start of me going full time. I mean, it was scary because it was like, okay, what if this is my last gig? Like, what if I don't do anything else after this? But things started rolling. I mean, one after the other in the VO realm. And that's kind of my story, to make a long story long.
But what's really interesting about that is, it's funny because I thought you were going to say you got some work from doing those little YouTube impressions, but actually those YouTube impressions were sort of how you built your brand and how you built
exactly.
your following. Because I thought you were going to tell me that you got a job right out of those YouTube videos, but the fact that you got an agent first is very, very smart and very, very, and lucky. That's amazing.
Yeah. And I absolutely lucky. I mean, I know a lot of people who are in the business as well were telling me too, like, hey, listen, I mean, the stuff that you're doing is great, like awesome that you're getting this traction and people are sharing it. But at a certain time, you're going to have to, there's a professionalism that I have to kick in where it's like, you're not no longer doing impression videos, but you're actually like doing this stuff. And in order to do that stuff, you either either you go get signed on to an agency, or you kind of curate that work yourself, which is, I mean, not my strongest suit. So I was like, no, I want to sign on to an agent so I can get, like, because I'm not going to be able to get into Disney by myself. I was like, well, what I need is an agent. And I sent it to the ones that I've been looking at for years, literally years.
But you did the research. It wasn't out of the blue. I think a lot of people think like, oh, I'm going to record a few things and I'm just going to send my stuff out and I'm going to get signed. It's like, No.
It doesn't. And I think that's another thing I try to tell people. I was like, I know, you know, it may seem as if it was like a lot of voice actors say, well, it just feels like you just came out of nowhere. And it's like, no. Actually, for the last like 10 years and more than that, like I've been studying like you people. Like I've been studying all these people and researching and figuring out how I can be better. Like I would literally like in the morning before class, I would sit there and just watch commercials. Literally just so I can get the tone and I wanted to be diverse. I didn't want to just sound like the urban guy, whatever. You know, I wanted to sound like
and that can happen.
It can. And
that can happen.
And they will lock
you
in a box.
Oh, you're black, so you're going to... Exactly. So that... And that's what's wonderful, because that voiceover bravado and the different... Even when you have a Batman Joker one, by the way, which is spot on.
Oh, thank you.
You literally sound like both of them. That was, like, terrifying. But it was very, very good.
Thank you.
Your Joker especially was terrifying. But, you know, that's the thing. Like, we always, just like in real life, we have to be able to talk to all kinds of people.
Absolutely.
And I mean, you are basically a professional code switcher. Like, you can do it on so many levels.
Oh, thank you.
And it to get paid for it is
fascinating.
When you were watching those commercials, were you also like watching, like, were your brothers playing video games? Were you listening to the video game voices?
Yeah.
Were you where did your geekdom come in?
No, from I was 10 or 9, like, I was already. And I'm going to say this, and a lot of you geeks out there are going to be like, of course, you know, Dragon Ball is everyone's favorite, you know, but Dragon Ball was Dragon Ball was like my thing. You know, I watched things like Code Lyoko and like Digimon was, honestly, I'm going to say this and people are going to be mad, but it's kind of superior to Pokemon to me. And that's where I was like copying.
Okay, so wait, don't come for me.
Oh,
Gabe can be found on Twitter at...
And I think it was just because I was like trying to copy the character voices, and I would take my toys and round them around and do individual voices for each toy or whatever that I had, and I had all Digimon toys, and so that's where that, you know, that love for it comes from. And then, you know, Naruto played a part, and Yuasha. I mean, so many of those shows were part, and I played tons of video games, tons of it. Mm-hmm. And that informed also the character side of it and my imagination and stuff. So I think that's what kicked in. And I was also doing that, like, in college, not only the commercial work, but also the video game stuff. I would go on YouTube and listen to these character compilations of, like, Phil Lamar, for instance. Like, they have tons of videos of him and all the characters he's done. And I would sit there and just study. I was like, a brother in the industry doing all this? Samurai Jack? Like, excuse me. It's amazing. Yeah. It's literally breathtaking. And you know, just other characters I would listen and watch and admire and try to copy. And because that's how I learn how to, like, I copy and then I use whatever I copied and try to mold it into my own thing. So, mm-hmm. you know, it worked out for me in the end.
I would say, I mean, listen, like I said, I know your voice from My Hero Academia and as Ken Tagaki, you know, Rock Lock, but you've done so many more voices than that. You were in a Code Geass movie. You worked on Black Clover and Fairy Tail and One Piece. And two questions. What was your first anime voice that you did?
Yeah.
Got paid for. And what has been your favorite anime character to voice?
Ooh. Okay. For my first role was Chi from Nonbaka. And that was in 2016. That was my first role. So the funny thing about how I got into that, I was like, okay, so I know Funimation is working on this new show called Nonbaka. I need to find a way to get in there, at least get an audition or something, because I wanted to get into voicing anime stuff. And so
also, you happen to live in the right state, because Texas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, the biggest, Texas is great. Like, when I found that out, that's when I was like, okay, there's a chance. Like, I'm right next door. I can go ahead and do that. And, like, I auditioned for Chi, and he said, dude, you sound great. Come in for the recording next week. And so I come in there, and mind you, I don't know how anime is recorded. I just see two screens and I'm like, why is there two screens? There should only be one screen because I'm recording one script. Mm. So what's going on? Didn't know that, like, the Japanese is playing on one screen and the script is the translation is playing on one. I'm like, wait, I have to read these and watch at the same time? How do I do that? And mind you, I didn't ask any questions. I just walked in just because, like, oh, you know, I gotta look like I know what I'm doing. And so I get in there.
So funny.
And they're like, all I hear is beep. Beep. I'm like, wait, what are the beeps for? And by the fourth imaginary beep, I start recording and I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm just reading my line. And then they were like, okay.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they're looking at through the window and he's like, okay, so we'll try that again. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And so I'm literally learning as I'm doing. And we do it about, I don't know, four or five times. And then finally get in on like the fifth time. And then he's like, okay, that sounds great. Oh, let's do the next lines. And I have like, I don't know, like 20 more lines to do or whatever. So if you go back to the episode in Nonbaka, me as Chi, I think it's in the second or third episode. If you listen to it, you'll hear, I mean, I sound horrible. And I'm thankful for the director who was like patient with me, but I was just like, oh my, I would have let myself go. Like, there's no way. So yeah, that was my first role in an anime series. And I guess you asked my favorite role, right?
Mm-hmm.
My favorite role I love Fisher Tiger on One Piece. That was my favorite guy. Yeah, he was like, he reminded me kind of like a Malcolm X type feel to him. and the things he stood for, and how he, his grace and mercy towards character, this young child who was being abused. I mean, it was a very powerful sessions when we were recording. I was like, man, I love this character's intentions and this motive and how they've written his arc. It's just, it's amazing. And so for those of you who've watched it, you know how important he is.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's I think my favorite currently. And obviously Rocklock comes really close. I mean, Rocklock is just me, man. Like, that guy is just, I love Rocklock.
It was so funny too, because I'm not as far ahead in the manga because I have like 90 million other things I gotta do. But so I knew he was, could come. But then when I heard the English dub, I was just crying. I was like, this is exactly how Rocklock should sound. It's like, is there a reason why all these kids are up in here? Because we're trying to work. Like, I got questions. Like, is this how y'all roll every day? Like, yeah. His whole character is like, is this bring your kid to work day? Like, what's happening?
Rocklock, I love it.
Everything.
Yeah.
Like, Rocklock is an entire mood when I'm entire like mood. In a meeting.
An entire like, mood. And so it's funny, when I recorded that line, I was like, man, I in my mind, when Colleen was directing me, I was like, I feel like I'm coming a little harsh. I'm coming a little heated on these kids, because so up until then I knew of My Hero Academia because of my younger brothers, and I to them I think My Hero is what Dragon Ball was to me, and so that's how I kind of was like, okay, I need to kind of read up on this and stuff, and so yeah, I wouldn't watch a few episodes, and as watching a few episodes, I fell in love with Deku. I was like, I like
him. It's the best superhero origin story I think I've seen, like across genres in a minute. Like, you're
absolutely
not perfect. You're not born with powers. People in this universe aren't perfect. The adults are stupid. Like, I love, there's a police dog that's actually a dog. There's a nurse that kisses you and makes it all better. I love it.
Right. And so that's I was like okay, so when I did the line, I was like, but I like Deku. I mean, he's doing the best he can, you know what I'm saying? But you know, it Rocklock was not feeling it at all.
No.
He was like, y'all crazy.
Now,
y'all,
you know,
crazy.
What you brought up something I was already going to ask you. So I've interviewed Colleen Klinkenbeard before, as well as actually, it's funny, I interviewed the voice of All Might.
Chris.
But Colleen was talking about what she was putting a lot of the people who are auditioning for the different characters through. So did you have like 6, 7, 8 like auditions? Like, how did that work?
At Funimation, once you get in, for the most part, you're kind of in that rotation where like they start to hear you from other series. She heard me on the show BEM, where I played the role BEM, and I think already she kind of like, okay, he's good. And so I just think that for Rocklock being the character he is, there also isn't a lot of, you know, people of color. So, you know, you kind of come top of mind and stuff. I think that's how it kind of went about. So like they said, I got the audition just through the casting at Funimation. And so I was like, at first I didn't know that it was a My Hero title. I literally just auditioned. Now when I saw him, I was like, oh, it's Dude Black. Great. And so I'm like, yeah, this is, let's do it, man. And they had the description of him, and I was like, yo, this is me all day, every day. Like, I can do this. And so I recorded it, and it wasn't until I booked it that I was like, wait, this is for what? Isn't this like one of the biggest shows right now? And I was like, yo. And Colleen explained to me, he's like, yeah, this is like the first, you know, Black dude in the game. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. That was what was the most phenomenal thing. Now, here's the thing. There have been obviously other Black characters in anime.
Sure.
And, you know, we can go back to Naruto. We can go back, although I have issues with him too, because beatboxing all over the place. But the... No, and then of course you have Michiko and Hachin. I've told you, I am a huge Durarara fan. I did not like the Black Russian because I got what they were trying to do, but like, why he really gotta have, okay, his butt's gotta be that big and that pink, really? And you know, we're gonna ignore that Mr. Popo entirely. Oh, I was just about to
bring it up, but I was like, you know what? That may be a sore spot, so we're gonna skip.
Right.
That
I mean,
one.
We acknowledge that he exists, but like, yeah, Japan hasn't been so great. But I think in this, in this future of Beyonce's internet, in the world of black, Black Panther, T'Challa, son of T'Chaka, that the international view of black folks and their image, they've started to get what is right and what is wrong. And
right.
Even in manga, I mean, even in Carolyn Tuesday and things like that, we're seeing better, they're not perfect, but they're better images. So
yeah.
Rock Luck coming in, although I did crack up when they showed his wife and his kid, because I was like, okay.
Wasn't that hilarious? That's
big, but it's so real with the dark skinned dude marrying the really, really light skinned or white woman, and the child comes out black, and you're like, well.
You're like, well, it is what it is. What's crazy for me was the fact that my wife is Salvadorian.
Mm-hmm.
So like it, you know, the I was just kind of like, babe, you know, y'all are both kind of the same skin color. And then me and Rock, like, you know, we pretty much one and the same. So, you know, we kind of represented out here.
And I think that was the other thing that was great about his character. He is so close to you. Like, he is a grown up and he's got a kid at home. And so he's really worried about these kids. He comes off hard, but it's simply because, like, this, y'all think this is a game. But I will say, though, I did, the first time they showed his powers, not in the manga, but in the anime, I was like, listen, because we've been in this building, because you know how with anime, there's like, Dragon Ball would have a fight that lasts an entire season. So, you know, but My Hero is a little bit better than that. They'll have like 3 or 4 episodes, half a season.
Right.
That is. So I'm like, okay, so we're in this building with this amped up dude that has the ability to move the walls around us. And we 3 episodes deep before Rock Lock's like, hang on, I can stop the walls from moving. I'm like, where you been? Where you been?
Yeah, where you been the entire, man. And it's so funny because people, I think they don't know how to, some people don't know how to separate kind of the character and the person to person.
They don't.
And so sometimes, like, I mean, I even got like stuff like, you need to be easy on the kids and you're too tough and like, you need to come back off. Isn't that, I'm like, hey, listen, I didn't write it. I didn't, y'all got to forgive me. I didn't write it.
And I can't even tell you to tell them to go to Colleen because she didn't write it either. They got to reach out to the writers of the manga, But yeah, but honestly, I think for the most part, actually, like both the sub and the dub voices. And then when you showed up, I was like, oh no, this entire season, we're watching subs. Sorry.
Oh, I love that. Wow. Thank you. Yeah. I knew it was a big deal. I just didn't know, like, I literally woke up, you know, one morning and I kind of forgot that I did the character. It was a few weeks before it posted. So
right. It's so far in advance that.
Yeah. And so Saturday morning, I'm going in a car wash and like my phone is like blowing up and they're like, I don't think I had announced it at that point because we were supposed to keep it under wraps until the character, you know, appears. And I didn't know it came on like 4 a.m. So I was like, people were hitting me up like, did you voice this character? They're like, no, I think it's like Michael B. Jordan. And I'm like, no, wait, it's me. And so then I get on there. I'm like, yo, guys, hey, I did it. You know, and so to see the responses from it, it's been so amazing. I love that people are resonating with the character and everything. Whether it's like the dub or the sub, I'm just like, this is great. Like, we get a character who is not like a villain, who's a pro hero, mind you, like is, you know, one of the top guys, you know, not maybe his powers probably didn't convince you otherwise, but you know, it was amazing to see that on TV and be like, wow, like, I feel represented, you know, in a sense. And a lot of people, you know, they let me know like, hey, like, I feel like this guy's my older brother or the dude down the street or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So it's cool.
That must feel amazing.
Absolutely. Now,
What has been your favorite line? What is one line that you just walk around the house saying sometimes in the voice of the character?
I'll run to every time my wife gets home from work, because she's a school teacher, she'll come back, and as of the last like 2 weeks, I've been like running up to her and like bear hugging her and screaming lockdown, you know. Every And it would annoy the heck out of
me. And she's like, okay, honey.
You know, I would literally do that all the time. Like, she was like, what are you doing? And I'm like, lockdown. Just being annoying. But I love when I got to say that during the episode. I felt so powerful, you know. It's like, you know, I'm sure to everybody else, they're like, he ain't doing nothing. I'm like, no, but you don't understand, like, this is when I get to show off. So I've been saying,
if only
that.
This building would stop moving, I can show you my true power.
I can show you my true power. I can lock the entire building, just the surface. I was like, okay. But yeah, no, that's been one thing I've been saying.
So you've had such a varied, like, your story for how you got into this has been fascinating. Also, since you've been studying it since you were a kid, do you have any advice out there for other people who are like, listen, I want to be a voiceover actor too?
Yeah.
Because there's different ways of doing it. Like, I accidentally got into it years ago when I was editing, simply because they forgot to hire the talent and my voice was on the guide track, the rough cut, for a spot, and they just kept it.
Oh, wow.
So I was able to just do stuff simply because I was in the room, but that's not how you get into it if you're trying to do it professionally.
Yeah. So I think first and foremost, the acting is so important. I think people get it kind of confused a little bit. They say, you know, well, I have this amazing voice and people tell me that I can do great characters and stuff, and I mean, just like me, I mean, my teacher told me that I had a great voice and that I could do the announcements and stuff like that, and some people take that and run with it, and I did. But you have to remember that at its core, it's acting. So you can have an amazing vocal pipes in, but if you get on there and it's just, you're just delivering
I am delivering this line because I have a great voice,
you know, it doesn't, you're not bringing the character to life. You know, it's just like, I can have an amazing 88 key piano that's like build of gold, but if I don't know how to play it, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, how, you know, what does it matter? So I say getting to acting classes, musical theater, people, like, if you're musical theater, you are such an advantage, because a lot of this stuff is about hearing what hearing the line and being able to repeat it in your own voice and your own tone and everything. So, like, people who are in theatrical plays and or whatever, if whatever that's requiring you to step outside yourself, do it, you know. So another thing would be getting your demos done, you know, demos, because you need that in order for somebody to take a chance on you, in order for somebody to hear. Like, a lot of the agencies that are out there, voiceover agencies, they're requiring a commercial demo just to hear what you sound like on a read. Now, it's amazing that you can do character voices. That's awesome. But the bread and butter of the voiceover industry is commercial, as you know. That's what's kind of driving the industry. And then everything else is built on top of that. You have animation, video game stuff, and that's great. But is getting a demo done professionally? Make sure it's don't do it on your own. Try if you can and it sounds great, then who the heck am I? But try to get somebody who has who comes on an outside view and able to kind of critique you and stuff and tell you what lines to hit, what words to hit on your demo. And make sure it's diverse. Nowadays, you can, but it's hard to just be in one lane. One of the reasons why I've tried to do many different things is because, like, what if they stop calling me for anime work? What if they start calling me for trailer work? What if they stop calling me for? I need to have something else I can divert, I can get into to do what I love. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I've kind of diversified myself in a lot of these areas to try to, you know, keep the lights on. So
yeah, I mean, now do you still work with a voice coach, or is the work that you do the training?
You know. Currently, or when I started, I didn't have any money to do voiceover coaches. So my coach was me literally listening to these commercials. And I think being a musician and being a singer helps with that, because you're able to repeat, you're able to kind of hear the inflections and the tones of the voice and kind of copy that. And that's why the impression videos went so well, I think, in certain regards, because I was able to do that with other voices as well, you know. I was able to kind of learn that way. Now, as far as later on, when I went to go do my demo, I did get a voiceover coach just for that demo, so that I can, you know, it's hard to kind of judge yourself. So you need someone else on the outside to kind of give you pointers on that. And that's when I did maybe about a couple of sessions, and then we recorded.
I feel like 10 maybe years ago or so, it was, you saw this change in the voiceover community going from voiceover actors that you always heard on commercials to stars. Like, people wanted, you know, people wanted Donald Sutherland to sell orange juice. Now that we've moved into streaming and people, we're all skipping the commercials, what is, are you finding that there's, it's level the playing field again for that? Or are you looking more to gaming and animation that's not necessarily anime to, you know, as it, other avenues?
It has leveled the playing field. I still feel that there's still a lot more of these celebrities that I've booked certain jobs that I've lost to celebrities on. I booked one job that, you know, and I won't say the name of it, but I lost to Morgan Freeman. And okay, it's Morgan Freeman. I don't care. Like, you can take any job. You know,
you lost Morgan to Freeman. God. Lost a job to God.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, and other celebrities as well. And it's just because of the fact that, you know, you recognize their voice and it validates the brand immediately. And so that's just kind of what happens. But there are still other commercial stuff out there that I can still hop on, that I still do now and everything. And so I still am able to do that and other stuff like video games and anime. Now, animation, I will say, because a lot of people always say, you know, I want to do the animated features and stuff like that. It doesn't come, like, it's rarely will you have a voice actor who, just a voice actor, not a celebrity, but like a voice actor, like frontlining the animated movie. You know, they're normally casted by all celebrities, and then you have voice actors coming in doing bits parts in the movie, which is still an honor, you know. But it's a beast to try to get there to be a front runner on it when you're just a voice actor. So if you can do it, man, you're inspiring all of us to go after that. So, you know, don't let that discourage you at all. But as far as video games and everything like that, other things like maybe a TV series. Yeah, voice actors are in demand because these celebrities and their schedule, they're not able to do that. Like, they're not able to do, like, Jack Black can go in and do, like, the Kung Fu Panda series stuff because it's just too much. It's just too much time that's invested into it.
Now, before I let you go, I want to talk to you a little bit about your project, Star Child. What is this exactly? I've read a little bit about it, but I want you to tell us what you're working on.
Yeah, so I can, things are starting to roll on this thing pretty quickly. So, like, now I'm, like, finding myself having to be like, ooh, actually I can't share too much about this anymore because they're, like, a lot of hands are starting to get into the pot. But it's a technologically advanced world in an ongoing war. And this young man, his name is Aaron Akari, African-American, black guy. He's black. His boy is black.
Yay.
And he, young protagonist, and he's in search of his mother, who is this legendary figure, and his mother actually built this super mech for him before she went away. I won't tell you what happened to her, but super mech for him to defend Solaris, which is the world that we are in. His journey is to find her, to find who she is, how did, you know, where did she go, and all that. And the great thing about it, he has this companion called Lula, who his mother built this kind of like digital assistant after her kind of her voice and her liking. So when you hear her, it's kind of her voice guiding him throughout everything. Her name's Lula because it stands for L-U-L-A, a logistical understanding and linguistics application. So she is.
Of course it is.
Yeah, yes.
Of course it is. So, awesome.
Yeah, so she kind of guides, and she's able to also control Hyperion, which is the super mech that his mother built for him. And so we kind of see his journey.
Now,
and
is this manga or is this anime?
So,
this is that's the part you can't talk about.
Yeah. This is the part where I was just like, I can't delve into. But
okay, I will not. But I'm excited because I'm like, this is a story I want to see. So okay, cool.
Yeah, and we're really wanting to showcase, like. He has a friend named Samantha Starwave, who's like the greatest skyboard racer. So like a lot of the things that kind of revolve around this show is skyboard racing. And like, it's one of like the best things. And, you know, a lot of these characters hop in these competitions and do it. And his character, Samantha Starwave, is one of the best in the galaxy. Now, she's not a pilot. She can't do, she wasn't able to get into the Aeronautics Academy, which you go there to learn how to fly these super mechs. She didn't have enough money to. So she was like, you know what? I'm just going to be a skyboard cyborg racer, and she's the best in the galaxy. And she's, you know, plus size girl, black, and she's a beast. She's great. She's amazing, and I can't wait to share that character as well. We've showed a little bit characters, drawings of these characters, and we're about to release more of it. But Aaron has his friend Kit Spectre, who is also beside him, and kind of like the comedic relief of the show and everything. And he's like, yo, I'm gonna help you find your mom as well. And then we have obviously the bad guy Henry Barracks, who is the head of the Aeronautics Academy, and where kind of Aaron went to go learn how to be a pilot for the supermechs and stuff. And mind you, this academy is like, there's only like 10 people in the world who can go, and Aaron was chosen as one of the people who can go to learn how to fly mechs. And so, yeah, it's going to be an interesting story. I'm excited to share more into depth, but I kind of have to hold some cards to my
right,
chest.
Right. No, you NDAs are real. So yeah. I am very aware. But no, I appreciate you sharing that. That sounds exciting. Like, this is a show that I'm like, okay, I would binge watch that. Absolutely. When you can share more, and when you can tell us where it's coming and when it's landing,
yeah,
please let me know, and we can, you know, shout it out so that everybody can, because you've got a solid fan base now. And I honestly think, not that you have time to do this, but if you can record some of yourself recording some of your lines in the studio, you gotta, after the season is over, you gotta put some of that stuff back up on YouTube, because your YouTube stuff originally was, hey, you doing other people's voices. now people want to see you do original voices.
Yes, yes.
So you gotta bring a little GoPro with you into the studio, man.
True that. It's funny you say that, because I wanted to do that. I think for me, it's just like, I was so scared. It's my hero, and so you don't want to jeopardize anything, like, you don't want to do something and it's just like, hey, you did this, you're out, you know. So I think that is acceptable after the show is you know released. So
it would be great. Honestly, Funimation should just do that in general. I think people would love to see all of the actors do their thing, and I get it that they can't release it until after the season airs, right. But that is content that I think a lot of people would love to see, like the people behind these voices.
I definitely agree. I got you. You hold me to it, and I got you. I'm gonna drop something.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much for sharing, like, your little origin story, how you do what you do. It's fascinating. I'm a fan of, obviously, My Hero Academia, but your career in general. If you tell me you're doing a voice, I'm showing up. If you could basically go back and talk to 10-year-old you that had just stolen the equipment from church. and give him a piece of advice, what would you tell him?
You are on the right track. That's what I would say, because I also deal with a lot. I don't talk about this a lot, but I had a learning disability in mathematics and written expression. And that was my biggest thing growing up. And a lot of time I would sit there in meetings with my parents discussing with teachers, like, you know, he's not reading, or he's not doing math and stuff as quickly as other students. We're thinking about putting him in a remedial deal and just kind of slowing him down. And that has played an effect on my entire life. And so I think that's why I look to the arts as an outlet, because I was not good at I felt like I wasn't good at anything else. So that entire time of me growing up, I was kind of like, you know what? I'm going to try this, because this is probably my best bet, you know? But there came some times where I was like, it's not working, or maybe I need to focus on trying to get better at the school stuff, because I'm just not catching as fast as everybody else, or whatever the deal is. And so there were some doubts and you know, some depression that came with that as well. But it wasn't until, like, really until my finishing college where I really was kind of like, okay, like, this is like, I've got signed and stuff, and this is where I'm supposed to be. So let me step into that, you know, and let me get into that role. So I would tell my younger self, you're on the right track. You're doing great. Keep going. Don't worry about what everybody else is saying about you and stuff, and don't let that influence your journey. Keep going. And I feel like if I would have altered any of that, then it would have kind of shifted the trajectory a little bit. I probably wouldn't be sitting here talking to you. I would tell
myself
to keep going.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. And also thank you for sharing that personal part of your story. I appreciate it. Absolutely. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today.
Oh, thank you for having me on the show. This is amazing. I mean, I've just been seeing the work that you've been doing and on my timeline. I'm like, wow, she is doing amazing stuff. And I'm honored that you asked me to come on, really. And anytime you want me to do whatever, I am down to do it.
Sweet is he? So now you know why you have to follow Gabe. I'll put all his social media information in the show notes. And since this recording, he's shared more about his project Starchild, and I will link to that as well in the show notes. Now don't forget about my show sponsor, SiteGround. I will also link to them in the notes so that you can check them out for yourself and get your website back on track. And as always, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and consider leaving me a comment on iTunes because it really helps me out. Also, don't forget to screenshot this episode and post it in your IG stories tagging The Blur Girl. Leave a comment about the show. I really, really would love to hear your feedback. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you on the internet.